Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Would you like a giraffe? Have one delivered. Just log on to PetsOvernight.com and we'll send you a giraffe overnight. PetsOvernight.com, delivering little bundles of love in a box directly to your door.
Shut up and sit down.
Welcome, everybody. It's a brand new episode. Oh, it's a glorious episode. You know what? I'd say the sun is shining. I'd say the birds are chirping. I'd say the flowers are blooming. But instead, it's Christmas time. The snows have fallen. The cold winds are a-brewing. There is no springtime here in the Michigan. It's still winter, and it keeps teasing us and teasing us and teasing us and teasing us. It's driving me nuts, but you know what? It's episode 393 of Third Shift. I, of course, am Mr. Eric, one of your hosts today. And with me, as always, is the inglorious bastard himself. It's Mr. Matt. He's all hooded up because, as I just said, it's still winter here in Michigan. And it's sad and cold. Oh, it's so cold. But, hey, before we talk about video games and we do all the things, how do you like this cold, Matt? How do you like this week? It's been a thing, hasn't it?
I fucking hate it. I don't remember if I said it to you or to somebody else, but since the new cold snap has started, I mean, it's, you know, if you're a Michigan diehard, if you're whatever, this happens, A, and B, oh man, it's like 20s and 30s. Okay, that's in actual winter times, that's nothing.
It's not that cold.
It's like 10 times as cold as it was when it was teens and zeros. Am I wrong? Is it just me?
It feels that way.
I'm freezing all the time. Mm-hmm. Whenever I go out, I'm like, oh, I don't need like my face covering thing, you know, my fleece neck gaiter thing that I bring when it's like in the teens. All right, it's supposed to be 30 when I'm walking in. Oh, I'm cold. I'm freezing. And it's not the buzzed head because I have my hat on, so it's not that. But it's like all my exposed skin, it's freezing. I'm sitting here. My work at home day is today. Wednesday as we're recording this. It's by a window. It's always cold. It's like 10 times colder today. Why? It wasn't this cold when it was colder than this. But now it's like double cold. It's pissing me off. I don't like it.
Yeah, you know me. I love the cold, Matt. I truly do. But I get to that point, man. As I probably said, coming into winter. And I knew this was going to happen because it happens every year. It's like, comes that point where I'm like, okay, it's enough. All right? And it's almost 10 times colder. And I know why. Because it keeps teasing us. It'll go, hey, you know what? Today and tomorrow, it's going to be 72 degrees and sunny outside, guys. And we're going to make sure all those birds are flying by and you're going to hear all the things you want to hear. You're going to hear it. You're going to feel it.
Or it's only 50 degrees, but the sun is out and the sky is clear. So whenever you're out and you feel sun, oh, I'm like, whoa, man, it's springtime. Take the jacket off. Take the coat off. Take your shirt off. Who cares? It's time. It's sun time.
Yes. But then it hits back and then you get down to like, you know, mid-20s, low-30s. And that cold, brisk wind. And you're like, oh, no. Oh, I'm dying. I can't take it. So it's just a bummer. Then you watch those poor tulips, man. Those poor tulips, they come out every year. They're like, oh, it's time, everybody. And they're blooming. And you're like, whoa, look at those pretty flowers. And then they die. They don't even get all the way out. And they die because they're too stupid to realize they're in Michigan. And we don't actually go into springtime when spring hits. We fake it. And then we go back into a cold snap for a couple more weeks. Sometimes a month, and then we go into springtime.
And I feel bad because, you know, I'm an animals guy. All the birds came back. All right, here they are. Hey, by the way, birds, it's real cold now. Well, you geese that came back from the winter, now you're huddled up together, like super tight because it's freaking cold. The mourning dove that comes and nests here last year, she's back today. But guess what? It's cold. You're not supposed to be back yet. Stay away. Stay away till like April. We'll probably get snow like end of March. Well, it's almost end of March now.
Yeah.
Stay away till April, May, June. I don't know. Just never come back, I guess. I should just never come back.
Just don't come back to Michigan. I don't know what's wrong with this state. There's something wrong with this state.
Aside from that, in the video game front, because there's no real life stuff. There was real life stuff. Mm-hmm. I had St. Patrick's Day Part 1 with the buddies, with half the friend crew, and it was great. Went out, had awesome breakfast, came back to James's house, drank a bunch of beers, just talked and laughed the whole day. I got my first actual taste of a game I'm going to talk about just a little bit later. And then wife and kids came home and we all had to leave. And And it was a very sad drive home. But I did get Olympic broil, so that was nice. I don't know. It was just a nice day. And like I always say, more time with the buddies. Just like live events. When I hang out with my buddies, I'm like, ah, I'm recharged. Life's not so bad. We can all look and talk about all the things we have grievances with and all the things that bring us down. And then we go, ah, drink a beer. Woo, ah, everything's great. But now back to no buddies, no guys, no hanging out, except for at work with my best buddy. But then it's, well, we're at work and we're miserable. But anyway, forget about that. St. Patrick's Day Part 1 was good. Video game front, also good times, but also funk times. Because I had, it was the very next night after St. Patty's Day. I was sitting here, I was playing games. I went, okay, I'm going to platinum Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth. And I did it, and I went, all right, I don't know what else to play right now. I'm just, bleh. Let me start up that New Game Plus. Let me start that Legend Mode playthrough. And I started up, and I had to skip 50 cutscenes because of how we talked about how the front piece of the game, it's all cutscenes but goozes. Got into the fights. They're not too hard, but they're just hard enough to be annoying. Oh, if I just use my skill, I can clear every fight. But then after 4 fights, I gotta go and have some lunch so I can get my MP back. All right, well, let me go through the next story mission. Well, okay, skip 10 more cutscenes. Okay, now I'm in Hawaii. Okay, skip 10 more cutscenes. Okay, now I can run around. All the enemies are tough, and it's the same scenario. Run down the street, do my fights. They're not as fun anymore. Okay. Well, maybe someday, because I have the platinum. The New Game Plus stuff is in the extra little DLCs trophy thing, so I don't feel bad about that. But I went, okay, not this time. Maybe if I play through again, we'll play through on Legend as the whatever. Then I went, what else do I want to play? Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League, which I've been having a lot of fun with? Not today. All right, Persona 3 Reload, don't want to stream. All right, anything else out of the backlog? Oh, I mostly have, like, RPGs downloaded on my console right now. I can't do another one right now, which is a spoiler for something about to happen. So, okay, today I've had downloaded on my console forever spaceship combat game called Chorus, which I talked about on the show ages, years ago when it first came out. Downloaded it, started playing it. All right, I'm digging it. It looks great. It looks beautiful. It plays pretty fun. I'm going to save after this mission. I told Eric this story already. Pause. Go down to save. Save is grayed out. Can't save while you're in a mission. Oh, you just back-to-backed me like that? All right. After this mission, I'll save. Go to the pause menu. Save is grayed out. Guess I'm playing this for 3 hours. Fine. I'm sure there's an autosave that saved at the end of the mission, but when I look at the save file text, it doesn't correlate in my mind to what I just did. So whatever, played that for a bunch, got the ship, because you start out with a different ship, now you have your proper ship, and you can do like the weird drift mechanic that doesn't do exactly what it sounds like, but it basically allows you to spin on your axis instead of turning. And I'm terrible at it right now, but I was also in a funk when I was trying to learn it, so overall, still fun. I was just in a funk when I was playing it. And then, oh, what got me out of the funk? Unicorn Overlord. I did what I said I would do. I bought that collector's edition. And then at St. Patty's Day, our buddy Brian said, hey, James, what have you been playing lately? And he said, Unicorn Overlord. And he went, put it on the TV. I want to see it. And I went, sure, let's do it. Let's do it old high school, junior high style. We'll drink some beers and watch you play a video game. And we did, and I was drooling. I was just like drooling like a fool. I'm like, oh my God, that's the greatest thing I've ever seen. He went, yeah, yeah, look at this. And I went, oh, ha, ha, ha. And he went, yeah, yeah, look at this too. And I went, oh. So as soon as I got my copy from where I pick it up at on the weekend, put it in, it's so good. It's so much fun. The only thing that I don't like at this, not that I don't like, but I can see myself not liking as much. Obviously, you can fill out your unit any kind of way. When I was watching James play it, he's got like 5 to 6 units in a group. And when you start out, you have like 2. You do 2 and you eventually upgrade. So where I'm at right now, I can get like 3. And that allows you to kind of avoid row and column-based attacks because you kind of put your people on this little 6-person grid thing. And it allows me to tailor it like super good. Like I have one that totally kills armor, like great shield enemies. I have one that's totally good against this, totally good against that. But now I'm starting to open it up and I have too many characters. So I'm like, oh man, I'm going to have to start like half finagling and like really pulling all the strings and like, well, these guys were a team forever, but now I got to put this person in or take that person out and make him the leader of this other group that I'm starting with these other two people. And it's awesome. It's fun. It's great. But I'm kind of getting that like, I don't want this to just be a hodgepodge of weird stuff. I like my small units. Then nobody's going to take me out with one big wipe across the row or down the column. It's just peep, 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 peep. But man, it's so good. It looks so good. It sounds so good. It plays so well. It's so Ogre Battle and Vanillaware. It's so Vanillaware, dude. It's, oh God, it's good. And that's what I want to play. I want to be doing that right now. I don't want to be doing the show. I want to be playing that. I didn't want to go to work today. I wanted to be playing Unicorn Overlord. When I got the call that, you know, we got to like punch in via the phone system, even though we're at home, systems have been down. When I got the message, now I would never do this in real life, but when I got the message, don't worry about your punch-ins, I just wanted to go, laptop off, we're just playing Unicorn Overlord, or laptop in sleep mode, who cares? Yeah, yeah, sure, oh man, must have missed your email, must have missed your message, I'm playing Unicorn Overlord all day. But I didn't do that, because I'm a responsible human. But man, it's, dude, you gotta. I don't care about this thing you're going to talk about that you've been playing. Put that in the garbage can. Mm-mm. Get your ass on some Unicorn Overlord. All you people out there in the world, the collector's edition is still available. So I was amazed. That means not a lot of you are buying this thing. Buy this thing. Play this thing. Love this thing. Oh, baby. It's so good. Eric, what have you been doing this week?
Well, by gosh golly, this last weekend was all sorts of craziness. A lot of events going on. A lot of activities. Real life stuff, but none of it's super exciting. But this, you know, just stuff. Kids coming over, us going to events, this and that, this and that, this and that. I had a 4-day weekend, mind you. Because, of course, as you all know, we did a, you know, it was a little shorter show and all that. Had a good time. And don't get me wrong, it was great. But those 4 days flew by. And it was like I had no idea what I even did. You know, it was, I feel like that happens all the time. It's just weird and crazy how that works out. But I did play a video game, and it was Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. I played the hell out of this game. I've been playing the hell out of this game. And it is amazing. It is wonderful. It's exotic. It's beautiful. It's touching. It's funny. I mean, that's the best part. It's actually funny. These characters, the interactions they have with each other, and the things they just talk and smack are just crazy. When you get to a point, when you get to past Delosol, you get past the Dines area, you're going to open up the gym. And if you remember, the gym was in Remake as well. They got the gym back again, and there's gym quests to do. But when you're in that gym, the things the NPCs are saying are just ridiculous. Just crazy. I laughed like 3 or 4 times at different comments that were said in this gym. Just alone. Just that one little segment. Game is fun. It's just fun. It doesn't take itself serious, even though it has very serious moments in the game. But all in all, just I can't get enough of it. However, I'm having the usual problem I have when games do this. It's open world. You know, allows you to kind of go and do all sorts of side quests and look-sees and find the treasures and all that stuff. There's so much of it, in fact, that sometimes I forget. I forget what the game's about or what's even happening. Because I spend days, literally, just doing dumb things. Like, oh, I got to go run and open up this little square here. Boop. Okay, got that. Now I'm going to go find the, oh, mark that on the map. I'm going to go get the well over here. Boop. And I'm just doing these things. And then I go, what am I doing? Where are we at? What's happening in this game? What's going on? And I literally don't even know where I'm supposed to be or what's happening in this game anymore. And I go, that's it. Yep. That's the cap. Go to your mission. Go do a mission because you don't even know what you're doing in this game anymore. You got to go. And then I...
I did that in Unicorn Overlord last night. There's an overworld you can run around on. You can find stuff like little dig spots and stuff. And there's enemies that patrol, but the battles don't really count unless... If you lose the battle, you just go back to where you started your wandering from. Mm-hmm. So I spent like half an hour just like, oh, if I sneak through this little zone here, and I can duck that guy, then I can zoom all around over here. Just zooming around forever, finding new battles. And they were like, oh, what are you doing out here? Let's have a fight. Boom, put a battle down on the map. All right, well, if I run over here, oh, there's another guy. Run over there, that's another guy. Run. Like, I'm supposed to be in a spot that's like a sliver this big. But what I opened up was like all the rest of this. And I was like, wait a minute. Where am I supposed to go? What order am I supposed to be doing stuff in? Oh, wait, all the way back. Okay. Oh, which of the two side missions should I do first? Okay. Be good. Do it right.
Focus. You're in level 28 area. You're not supposed to be here.
There literally was level 31 enemies. I guess I shouldn't have gone this far. Okay, bye.
Yeah, I'll go back now. And so I'm finding that too, where I'm just getting too much into the game itself and the side stuff. But I'll tell you, the Queen's Blood stuff, man, it's so fantastic. I already gushed about it, so I won't go too far in on it. But they even open up more, because when you get to the Gold Saucer, they introduce, of course, the Queen's Blood tournament thing there. But it's not just Queen's Blood. Now they start introducing weird layouts and conditions and weird things you've got to do and achieve while you're in said match. And it's crazy cool, but it's frustrating as hell. Because I've got a pretty good setup now. Anybody I face, I've got a really well-balanced deck that you're going to beat me a few times until I figure out what you're doing, and then I can counter it. I got pretty much everything I need in this deck. But when these conditions get introduced, cards are off the table. Now my decks are trash. Now I'm over here like a freaking buffoon getting slaughtered. And I'm stubborn, so I'll sit there and I'll just play again. I can do it with this deck. Until finally the brain, no, you cannot do it with this deck, Eric. They've made it impossible. You need to redo a deck, and they got different slots, so you can do multiple decks. You have to do another deck that focuses on taking cards off this table. Otherwise, you're never going to win. You got to stop. But I'm an idiot. So I'll go literally like 30, 40 minutes before I finally go, all right, fine. My cool deck that works in every other match that's normal in this game doesn't work. Then I'll build it. So it's a love-hate relationship with the Gold Saucers matches, because it's all on me. It's not in the game. But I'm just like, I don't want to make another deck. This one's great. But I've had to do it several times now. And that's what's so cool about it, is because they introduce these weird mechanics sometimes. Like one time you had to play on the opposite side. So everything you had and built is wrong, because everything you've got is facing left to right. And you're attacking in that formation, with a couple exceptions, you know, if you want to try to do some tricky maneuvers, etc. But for the most part, it's all wrong. So you cannot win with the deck you've probably been using, period. Because it just it's not fundamentally made to do that. So you have to build. It forces you to build another deck, thinking from the opposite side, to try to introduce you to the fact that there may be scenarios later in the game that you're going to have to do this. Which, spoiler, when you get to Gold Saucer, it's exactly what happens. You have to start building new decks, doing weird, strange things to accommodate the conditions. So, a great game within a game. I wish they would put this on, like, your phone. I don't even like phone games. I hate phone games. You all know this. But I would play the hell out of that. I'd sit there at lunch and play some Queen's Blood matches for a good 20, 30 minutes solid. No problem, no questions asked. That's how good of a game and simple, but yet strategic and difficult this game is. So with that, we'll harp on that anymore. I will just say, I got through the dying area, as I think I mentioned briefly, in the Gold Saucer. Thought I was going to have a moment, but ended up, things changed, so there's a lot of stuff going on. And, you know, I think I'm about to be introduced to one of my favorite characters pretty soon here in a minute. So I'm excited about it, but I was trying to do some side quests, and that's where I got all confused. So just a wonderful game. I mean, this game is insane. I for sure am going to have to play it a second time. You know, I've played Remake 3 times, I think I did, maybe even 3.5-ish. So I'm going to have to go through this one again, but I don't have time right now. Now, I would say it's my only game, Matt, but it's not. Last night, Matt, last second McGee, I went, I can't stop myself. Download Unicorn Overlord.
Yes, good.
Pop that bad boy in, and I didn't get far. I got to the point where Roderick, you know, figured out what the hell was wrong with old boy. And then, of course, we're like, wait, this might actually work. And off we go to the story. Did a couple more scenes talking to Scarlet and kind of just establishing what's up. That's so I didn't get it nearly pretty much anywhere. But if you do know it, that is a nice hour, at least, I think, chunk there of just stuff happening. And some mock battles and easy battles just to familiarize you with how the systems are going to work. I still am pretty bummed that it's such a just a... see it from a mile away, old boy's going to end up dead, because, of course, he's way over-leveled from what you are and right now in the intro stuff. I hope it changes and he stays, but...
This is more of a what you playing third shift kind of a conversation, but what I love is that's such a trope. Not what you're saying, but mm-hmm. having a cavalier unit that's way over-leveled for what you are is such a Fire Emblem thing. Like, there's even a name for it, and it's the name of the first one that you get in the very first game, and I've forgotten because I've been so out of the internet loop of it. But I saw it, and I went, that's exactly what that is. That's what that is. And there's been so many other, like, little bits. It's Ogre Battle. It's Fire Emblem. It's all these things, like, all my favorite things all smashed together. It's great.
Yeah. I'll tell you, and I'll be just brief because I'm not too far into it, but graphics are beautiful. I already talked about it on when we talked about the game coming out, but to see it and behold it, oh my gosh, the music's beautiful, wonderful. Everything in here so far is great.
I got one last thing. There's a walled city you go to eventually later, much later. It does like a scene with like, hey, here's the guy that you're going to meet in here because you meet a bunch of characters. Everybody knows that kind of stuff. That have a scene with the guy, and he spoke one line, and I went, there's no way. There's no way. I pressed forward. I heard a couple more of his lines. I went, it is. There's no way it can't be. Looked it up. It's the guy who does Majima in the Yakuza games. I was like, you, sir, have now just become my Duke of New York A number one favorite unit. You will never not be in my active roster on my team. He's the shield killer team. He's in it. So every time he swings his big old hammer, he goes, whoa! And I'm like, yeah, Kiryu-chan, here we go. Oh my God, it's my Yakuza boy. It's so good. It's so great.
And I won't say now because I want to hear it a little bit more just to confirm, but as you know, Matt's going to probably be in his Japanese craziness, not yes. in the U.S. voices. I have the American voices going because that's how I roll, depending on the game. So don't get me wrong. Like a Dragon, it's Japanese. That's characters I know. But in my Persona games, it's American. In this game, I felt like it was better to go on, U.S. voices, whatever. I think there's two characters already that are popping up that I know from Persona and some other games. So
hell yeah.
I'll, of course, elaborate once I can confirm it, because, of course, getting 1 hour in at, 8 at night, I think it is, but I'll wait and see. So that's what I've been up to. So far, so good. Can't wait to play that. Can't wait to finish all the other stuff I'm playing. It's been a week, and here we are, Matt. Here we are on a Wednesday night.
Here we are on a Wednesday night talking about another one of those games that got revealed at some kind of showcase, I feel like it was Summer Game Fest, something like that. And now it's here. It's out. It's High Water, which was out on the 14th of March, developed by Demagog Studio, published by Rogue Games for PC, PlayStation, Xbox, and Nintendo Switch. It also apparently was out for Netflix, I think sometime maybe last year or something, a while ago. But now it's on proper consoles, proper PCs. This is that game that takes place in the future, where there's been a big climate crisis. The whole world, it's basically water world. The oceans have risen. Everybody's living on small chunks of land. And all the rich people live in, I think they even call it Alphaville. And it's the big rich society. And they send supplies to all the other stations around the world. But now rumor has come that the people in Alphaville are trying to leave the planet and go. So you, as your main character and his band of friends, you're trying to get to Alphaville and either leave or just find out what's going on. So you got this little rubber boats. How do you call them? Like little rubber inflatable boats.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah. And so you're going through, and it's kind of Wind Waker style. You got these scenes where you're going through trying to get to the next map objective. And when you get there, either you're going to find some collectibles or things or resources to help you out, or you're going to have encounters with characters and enemies. You're going to have friends. You're going to have enemies. And then you're going to get into tactical, grid-based combat. When I first saw it, I went, oh, man, it's so XCOM. Because it looks literally like the squares look like XCOM. And I went, oh, how's that going to work? All the reviews I've watched, all the gameplay I've watched, it's a lot more friendly than that. I can't say a little more friendly because XCOM is the worst friend you could ever have. But it's more easygoing, kind of laid-back, grid-based combat. But what I like about it is it's based a lot around stage hazards and like environmental puzzles. So it's not like walk up and hit them with your big hammer. It's knock this thing into that thing, which is going to trigger this. Like, I think there's an intro fight I've been seeing where some guy's standing next to a big open, like, shipping container, and it's propped up by this board. So if you hit the board, door swings down, closes the guy inside, problem solved. So a lot of that stuff, a lot of narrative elements where you're going from these settlements to settlements, solving problems, meeting people, handling business. And I've seen divisive takes on it. Some people are saying it's a little too shallow. Some people are saying it's just that right difficulty of just easy going. It's a dire scenario, but it feels kind of like you're on a road trip with your buddies. You're listening to this radio as you're driving your boat around and just having a more easygoing time than you would think. The graphics, I really love the graphics. They're kind of low poly. I would almost say cell shaded, but like that more muted kind of cell shading than you would think of something bright and super colorful. Watch some videos, see some gameplay of it. It looks really nice. From all accounts, it sounds really nice. It plays really nice. I'm into it. Like I said, a more lighthearted tone, or not lighthearted, but a more easygoing tone on what could be really dire and then like really brutal battles. If you want a quick hit, an indie game that's going to give you some interesting notes, some story, some battles, some exploration, a little bit of exploration, check out High Water. I want to check it out too, but I got all these games. How can I play all these games? But check it out. It looks interesting. It sounds like it's fun. I'm interested in it too.
It's the same boat with here, Matt. I so many damn games. And this is a game that I have been interested in, and you'll know why momentarily. It is a game by THQ Nordic and Pieces Interactive. This game is Alone in the Dark. It is a remake of the original Alone in the Dark way back when, the game that started all the survival horror wonderfulness. We've talked about this game several times on the show about how, you know, especially for me, I hope it's good. I hope it comes through positive. I really want, you know, another cool survival horror game to play. Well, as of March 20th for the PlayStation, Xbox, and PC, you can play this title, and it's a mixed bag, everybody. It's all over the place. None of it's reaching to the sky. None of it's reaching to the heights you'd hope. But when you read and actually listen to the reviews or read them, you'll find that this could be something for somebody. And that somebody is me. Because, look, I've already told you, I love the medium. You all know it. And that game got, you know, sixes, fives, sevens, fours, all across the board, too. But there were gems and nuggets in it. And I think that's the same with this game. Because as I watched everyone talking about it and just playing it and looking at it from all the different angles that, you know, players love to do this from, I really feel there's something here. And I'll tell you, if you don't know, like I said, it's classic survival horror. You're going to get like that, you know, third-person view of your character. In this game, it's going to be Edward and Emily. You pick whichever one you want to go through. And they have slightly different adventures based off their strengths, weaknesses, etc. But they're there because a member of the family, for I believe it is Emily, gave a phone call and said, "Hey, look, I'm in this mansion, the Deserto Manor, and things aren't right here. Something's bad." So you head off there to see what this poor old man in his retirement home's up to. You get there, stuff ain't right. No duh. It's a survival horror game, right? So something's not right. You get in there. And it's all kooky, it's all weird. Now, here's where things go positive. As everybody says, and from what I can tell, the manor itself and the environment around it, it's beautiful, it's wonderful. The manor is very well made to be maze-like, just like your typical survival horror game would be. So if you're just looking for a game that has a beautiful environment, a spooky environment, that's going to get you in the feels and get you into it, this game does that very well, and you'll have no reason not to play it for that reason. Another reason is that, if you don't know, most survival horror games have lots of puzzles that you have to solve to progress through said, you know, manor, insane asylum, etc., whatever the heck it may be. This one has it as well. And if you don't put on the help modes, at times you will have to scour through your notes. You will have to do all that old school backtracking to figure out how to lower the bridge, how to open up this door with the floor leaf clover that just won't do whatever you want need it to do. But you can also play it where after a while it starts to give you hints, clues, etc., lights the way, shows markers where you need to go. So you don't have to worry about puzzles if you're just that dumb who can't figure them out. It's got the way to solve it for you there. But if you want that challenge, it's also there for you. So if you love puzzles, nothing seems to be wrong. This is across the board. So you got puzzles going for you, you got the environment going for you. Now, combat. Enemies and combat, Matt. This is where it starts to go sideways. And this is only if depending. One, the combat. Very simple, nothing fancy. You're getting three weapon types basically throughout this game. And then, of course, just some random melee weapons. You can pick up candle bras, bats, sticks, All of them, according to everybody, seem to have the same type of weapon damage, though. You're not going to do anything different if you have an axe versus a baseball bat or a stick. So, kind of weird, but whatever. And then, of course, you also get bored if you're just bored with this, you know, three weapon type: machine gun, shotgun, pistol. If that's something you don't like anymore and you want to get jazzed up with all sorts of different weapons while you're traversing your environments, this may be an issue for you, because this is all you're going to get in the game, and it's very game-like. Hey, shotguns for your medium-type enemies, hold your heavy ammo for boss fights, etc. Use your pistol for all your small enemies. Though we all know that. So, you know, that's a hit or miss for you. But where, and this is what we were worried about, man. This is the part. The enemies. I saw some really cool-looking ones, don't get me wrong, throughout the trailers and reviews I watched. But I keep hearing it, that they're not uninspired, but kind of dumb. They don't do too much. And after a while, you'll see the varieties they have, and that's pretty much what you get. And you're not going to be exposed to anything very crazy and new and wild while you're traversing this manor and its outside environments. So that was slightly a bummer, but for myself, I'll take it, because the enemies I did see looked fantastic. So I'm willing to give that one a pass. And speaking of environment, one last thing. Apparently, while you're playing these characters, you do go to some weird H.P. Lovecraftian environments as you kind of go into your head at different moments throughout the game. So you'll experience some stuff that has nothing to do with the manor and the outlying environment. So there's another plus. So I don't know. As I talk, I feel like there's more pluses than negatives. For myself, anyway. But if you want to play this game, or you're not as into this type of genre as I am, go check out some reviews. But I can tell you from my perspective and from what I have seen so far, this looks promising, and it does look like it's worthy of a tromp, especially for me. And from what I hear, it's not an overly difficult game. So I could probably finish in probably 8 to 10, you know, 12 hours or so. So I feel like this is something I want to play as a survival horror enthusiast. But because of all the different reviews mixed all over the place, I would say go in with caution. You're going to have to take a look for yourself. But there you go. There's a little overhead for Alone in the Dark.
And I'll give you three things that got me interested in it. One is the two characters. I should have known, because we saw the reveal trailers with the character models, but I didn't put two and two together. The main characters are David Harbour and Jodie Comer, two great actors. And they did the whole facial scan, motion capture, performance capture, everything. So they look awesome. Like, they look great. When you see him in action, it looks right. It looks good. And then on top of that, he is the classic noir detective. I got a belly full of booze and I'm interrogating you about this. That's right up my alley. You know that. And then I only heard it a little bit in a couple reviews, but you mentioned them having different skills and interacting with things in certain ways. When you play as each character, some scenes go a little bit different. You still go to the same place, but like they showed off when you first go into the manor and you're interacting with like the housekeeper. Mm-hmm. He kind of just bulls his way upstairs because he's trying to get to what he's going to do, versus she has a conversation with the housekeeper and is more friendly, and she kind of guides you upstairs. And so the outcome's the same, but it's a little bit different based on who you're playing. That kind of stuff I love. So an awesome character played by an awesome actor, doing different stuff based on who you are. I wasn't expecting any of that stuff, but I was watching and went, damn, they did put some good effort into this. I mean, not that I didn't think they would, but things I wasn't expecting popping up, looks great.
Yeah, I agree. It's just a bummer that, you know, apparently all across the board it's not the case, and maybe it's just because I'm seeing it with my own vision, and therefore it's, you know, tainted or colored, however you want to place it. But I was interested and still interested in getting a hold of it. I just need to find a way to make money, folks. You know what I mean? Just got to do the thing.
I'm not going to say it because I don't want my phone to send me ads for the place.
Yes, don't.
But what I'm going to tell you is seeing stuff with your own eyes. You said stuff, and I saw it with my own eyes because we messaged on Teams about it. And then I saw it with my own eyes when I watched the Capcom Highlights videos that have been coming out. What was it? Last week and the week before, or
it was like the 7th and the 11th or something like that, or 14th.
Two in a week, but yeah. They were spaced out by like 4 or 5 days, so it was very weird.
Strange.
Yeah.
And I didn't hear anything about it.
Yeah, I didn't know this was going to happen.
It was odd. It came out of the blue. I don't even know where I heard it from. I do know. I was looking up something for Dragon Dogma 2, you know, because that's a game I'm very, very interested in. And it was like, hey, did you watch the new reel on the Capcom Highlight? And I went, what are you talking about? Not only that, I got an email that said, hey, did you watch the Capcom highlight? Please give us a review of how we did and what you thought of it. And I'm like, what are you talking about? So it was like these two things finally went, ka-ching, and I went, I totally missed something, didn't I? Sure did. So apparently these last, you know, 2 week-ish time frame, they had these two different highlights with all sorts of stuff that Capcom's up to, you know, what it was like 15, 20 minutes each, I think, roughly, of just games they were showcasing, stuff they're doing, and I missed it all. And I'm like, how does that happen? It was the weirdest thing. So I went back and watched it, of course, and, you know, told Matt about it. And, you know, what did you think? Was there anything that got you going?
For day two, definitely not. I mean, there are games they mentioned that I'm interested in, but I'm not so heavily interested in that it really jazzed my buckets. But day one, they showed off some more of Kunitsugami Path of the Goddess, which I didn't know was a Capcom game when it got revealed and you had missed it for that one gamer show that we talked about a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
So they showed off more of that. The only things I put down were, it still looks hot. And it's on Game Pass. It's coming to Game Pass. So I have to remember that and like put it in my brain so I'm not just like, oh, I'll go buy it on my PS5 when my Xbox literally sits right here with Game Pass on it and I can just play it. But it still looks good. It still looks just as good as it did during that reveal. And then I'll just mention for Dragon's Dogma 2, because I know you're probably going to talk more about that one. They talked about, hey, you might get some skills. So like if you needed to get an item for a quest, you could make a counterfeit version and see if you could pass that off as the actual thing to get the rewards for the quest. And I started drooling. I started scratching. I started going, oh my God, can I play the dirtiest bum counterfeitingest scraping by skin of his teeth Jones here? Like and save scum the heck out of it. So like right before I craft, I save and then, oh, it didn't work. And reload, see if I can do it. The game's already good. Like, I know the first one, so I know the second one's going to be good. But that just went like, what are we talking about here? That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. That, I agree, was just nuts. The depth and what you can do in this game and the environments and the areas. They were hitting you with all sorts of stuff. And then, I think there's a post-show, because I saw it singularly. I didn't see it on the highlights, which is the big old overarching, just what you're going to be doing in this game with Ian McShane doing the voiceover for it, I think his name is. And I just know him from the games with the boom, boom, bang, bang. He's got the guns, and he's like John Wick. He's like, pow, 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 that guy, yeah, you know what I'm saying?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
You don't know what I'm talking about. Oh, my gosh, yes. Ian McShane, he's the older guy. He's the...
Yeah, I know who he is.
He was the head of the hotel. Yeah, he did in a post after the highlights another trailer for Dragon's Dogma 2, in which he just voiced over, like, it was like 15 minutes of him just talking about this game, and it's showcasing everything the game's about. And I got to that because of the highlight. So I watched the highlight, then went to it, the post thing. I was like, hey, if you like this, you're going to want to go ahead and watch what happened afterwards. And they did that whole thing. But yes, Dragon's Dogma 2, for me, was definitely the showpiece. And I can't wait. I mean, I am so sold on this game. And just before the show started, reviews are popping everywhere. And so I went to just clicked on two, and one's a 9, one's a 7.5, and then I didn't get to any others because, you know, I had to call Matt because I told him 5 minutes. So I had to go ahead and just give up, and I didn't get to read any of them. But already I'm like, okay, we're already in the positive zone. Whew, whew, because I want this game to be good so bad based off what I've seen of it. The highlight reel, the Capcom thing, did a great job of doing that, and then the post one did too. Other than that, though, here's the deal. Not much on there for me. Capcom didn't showcase the only game they should have showcased, which was Breath of Fire. They really failed in that area. But they did do another thing I thought was cool, was they've got all these collabs with Mega Man going. And I feel like that means something. I feel like they're ramping Mega Man back up, and that's awesome. I want them to go with a Mega Man X type series, beautiful, gorgeous, but still a traditional side-scroller. I'm hoping they don't go with the later 3D stuff. Because that's, you know, a lot of people loved it, but not for me. So greedily, I want them to go with that old school style, but not the 8-bit style. Let's move forward from that. But who knows? That's just conjecture. But the fact that they're getting Mega Man back in all their games and doing stuff with them, I feel like that's just, hey, are you guys interested still in Mega Man? You want to see something with them? That's usually how it goes. So that got me a little bit excited about the future of Mega Man. And the last thing on the highlights did that I had to chuckle about is they showcased some Monster Hunter stuff here and there and whatnot, but they literally said on the bottom of those reels, there will be no Monster Hunter Wilds announcements and or talk. Like, they knew. They knew there were going to be bajillions of little screaming, little scrawling monsters waiting. Where's my monster? And they knew if they didn't get ahead of it and just say, look, it's not here, so if that's what you're here for, just go on about your day. Don't be upset with this highlights reel. Go away. Just go away, guys, gals, etc. So I just found that amusing that right there they just wanted to cut you off because they knew that franchise is like gangbusters for them, and they were going to have a bajillion people there angry if they watched the whole 15 minutes and didn't see something on that Monster Hunter Wilds that they were expecting. And even then, you still got a lot of people that were just chattering, ah, oh, we're so disappointed. What were they thinking? Why would they not showcase Monster Hunter Wilds? Blah, blah, blah. Because it's years off, guys and gals. Relax. It's not even coming anytime soon.
And here's another thing. I wasn't too into it. I did write it down. But like that little Monster Hunter Stories double pack.
Mm-hmm.
One of those was a 3DS. It was on the 3DS or 3DS exclusive. I'm not 100% sure. But hey, a system that just literally went away. You could never buy this again anymore. Look, Capcom did the right thing and brought it over and redid it up or rejiggered it up for the new modern consoles. But they did the right thing. So don't be mad. Be glad.
That's right.
This is what you're supposed to do. Now you can play it in a new and better format. Boom. There you go.
Yeah. And that was indeed very awesome. So with that being said, a lot of cool stuff there. I still don't know how both me and Matt let this one slip by us without seeing when it actually hit and, you know, being relevant to that particular week. But there you go. If you missed it like we did, go back there and check it out for sure. Because there's also another thing that Matt missed, and I would have probably missed, but of course I listened to this company's actual regular podcast, so they were drumming it up. So I was able to get in there and check it out firsthand. And that is kind of funny. Teamed up with Mix, and they did a springtime indie showcase for 2024, and they had 60 indie titles. And of course, they tell you right from the word go, they had hundreds, but they wanted to get it tuned down to the 60 they thought were best fits for the show. And they did just that, and they showcased all sorts of stuff, Matt. And I don't even know. I'm looking at it, I'm like, I'm sure this is great. You know, cool beans, woohoo, you know, indie. But I'm so busy, Matt, with these big AAAs. And I thought, how can I play any of these, Matt? How?
Yes, Eric. What is popping? This showcase was so sick. This is how they started it. Like, Greg Miller came on and went, hey, we got cool stuff. And they threw it to this next guy and went, yes, Greg, what is popping? I am excited about indie games. Let us see some indie games. That guy was horrendous. I'm just saying.
Yeah, that's the mix guy, yeah.
Yeah, I had to say it. I had to do it. It's a bit, but it's done. This show was great. Now, I will say it was way too long. There was way too much stuff in here.
Oh, it was way too much.
And, you know, not a lot of it was hitting for me, but a lot of it was hitting. I'm going to jump right to the end. So jump right to the end of the last two things that were shown, or at least the last two things that I wrote down.
Mm-hmm.
One, they showed off some more Pepper Grinder, which is coming right around the corner way too soon. I got all these other games I got to play. Blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
But they were showing a gameplay snippet. And they went, hey, this is kind of after you've shown you can use abilities, so we're going to reward you with a vehicle sequence. And then they're drilling through these ice blocks that disappear as you drill through them, and there's all these gems in there. And there's all these little collectible bits as you're diving out of the ice blocks and zooming around. And they said, we know you, player, good player out there. That's me. They were speaking directly to me. They said, we know you want to collect all these things. So we put some of these in here just to get you into trouble. So if you go for this one, it's going to get you into a situation you have to prove you can get yourself out of. And I went, oh, you spoke directly to me and to my heart. And I was watching it and going, oh my God, they missed one. I would have to redo the section. I would have to at least redo it twice to see if I could do it. But I was just like, I know I can get them all. Because when you give me stuff, and I'm sure these collectibles and the gems get to upgrading your grinder or whatever. But I was looking at him like, man, I'm drooling. I'm just thinking about, I got to collect it all. Because you know you're going to get a little star at the end of the stage or at the end of the realm or the whatever on the map. You got all the gems. You got all the things. I'm that guy. They talk directly to me. And the other one, real quick, it was in that last section. It was the start of the last section. They talked about pixel art and all this stuff. The Transylvania Adventure of Simon Quest.
These are both the games I was going to talk about, you bastard.
The only thing I wrote down for that one was cease and desist. Like, there's no way that Capcom has not beaten down their door right now and said, you got to stop. This is too close. There's no way. Like, this is literally impossible. But it looked fantastic. It looked great.
Yeah, well, it wouldn't be Capcom. It'd be Konami, but...
I said Konami, didn't I?
I thought I heard Capcom.
I meant Konami.
I know what you meant. I just want to save you. I didn't want old crazy old Peterson to come in through here later and say, "Well, excuse me, sir, that was actually Konami." Oh, goodness. But yeah, I agree, man. That the Transylvania Adventure Simon Quest, that homage just to that old school Simon's Quest, fantastic. And you know what? Konami isn't going to bang down the doors because it's already been shown. Other games have been mimicking Konami games for a while now, and they seem to be chill. They seem to be okay with it. So I feel like this one's going to be another one that gets away with just literally letting it be what it is and having a great old time, reliving that adventure with this brand new, you know, homage to Simon's Quest in a nutshell. And of course, with the pepper grinder, I've always told you, this looks really cool. But yeah, this latest trailer, man, I'm like, God, that would be such a good game for me just to kind of play on a whim, like, you know, here and there, just pop that in instead of whatever to take my mind off the big game I should play, but I ain't playing, you know, that type of game. Because it's colorful, it's beautiful, it's wonderful. It just looks so stunning right now, and the challenges look like they're great. The only worry, like I told you before, is that it gets too hard and it celestes me right out of the boat. I don't like that part.
Now, see, I almost worry about that more with, not worry about it more, but I think about that more with Transylvania, the Simon Quest one, because obviously it starts looking like Simon's Quest 100%, mm-hmm. but then it starts getting big and starts getting crazy and starts getting more abilities and all this other stuff. So I'm hyped for both of those. Those are two, and I already screwed it up. I screwed up the order of things, so I'm just going to give you the big rundown, because I put stars and underlines next to so many things. I won't talk about all of them, but you started off with a game. I don't know the name of it, though, because the font was written in such a stylish way. I think it's called Zetzillions. I think. But it could be literally anything else. This is Slay the Spire in space. And you combine your cards to make brand new cards, like while they're in your hand. Like they showed some streamers playing it. And, you know, hey, I've got a crew member. But when I combine him with the electrical trap and he becomes a corpse.
Oh, yeah. I remember the trailer for that one. Okay.
Yeah. And then I shoot this thing at the other space things that I'm fighting. Anytime you get something like Slay the Spire, I'm already interested, but then just the combining of the cards, like actively doing it. Not like you do it at home base, but you do it while they're in your hand. Looked awesome. Another one I didn't expect to like, but watching the gameplay of it, 100% sold me. Children of the Sun. You're some sniper out in this crazy world, and you got to kill a certain number of cultists, I think they called them, with one shot. And I went, okay, you're going to have to like line it up and do this, But no, he shoots his bullet. And I literally wrote down, that is one magic bullet. Because you shoot your bullet, it hits something. Then you can reorient it and shoot it off another way. And you can speed it up and you can add effects to it. And you can, you know, shoot a car in the gas tank and that explodes. And then you angle it off this way. And then you rotate it 180 degrees and you're shooting down this way. It looked crazy, like crazy, and maybe it'll get too crazy, but I was just like, man, this reminds me of like Metal Gear Solid 3, watching with binoculars. Okay, mark that guy, look at that guy, he's over there, this is over here, so if I go over here, this is going to interact with this, and from that vantage point, I can start going this way, and then I can do this. That one looks super cool. Another one I put right after that was called Capes, which is, hey, look, it's a superhero tactical role-playing game. You're moving characters on a grid and combining your powers and doing stuff. Guess what? I just played one of those last year, Marvel's Midnight Suns, and it was fantastic. If it's anything even close to that, give me some more of that. I'm just rolling through.
I got a couple. I mean, I got Planet Alana. You know, that one just gripped me. Had like that weird, cool atmospheric thing going on that I really like. The mysterious, what the hell happened here kind of vibe. So not too much on that one. It was pretty short and simple. But that one at least piqued my interest. Made me, well, hey, that looks cool. And then Squirrel with a Gun.
Yeah. Yeah.
There you go. Come on, folks. I mean, that's the easy just why this has to be fun, right? Squirrel with a gun. He's out there. You put him in little costumes. He had a little birthday hat on, little cowboy hat. And he's screaming, you know, the whole goat thing going on, blowing up people's faces. People are running from you and you're over there scratching out their eyes and jumping on their heads and scaring them. I mean, that's just idiotic, stupid fun. And the kids are going to eat this one right on up. Because, hell, if someone gave it to me, I would eat this one up and play it too.
I was going to write it down, but I thought, if I start talking about this, Eric's going to go, what are you talking about, dude? But it's that exact same thing. Like, if I got it for $2, mm-hmm. or somebody gave it to me for free, or I was just watching a content creator doing stupid stuff in this game, it's exactly that kind of game. Then on top of that, we got, oh man, I'm going to get into the, no wait, we're going to go from one silly to another silly. I'm going to say Duck Detective. This is like you're a cute duck who solves a stolen lunch mystery in the office. The gameplay doesn't look like anything special, but what I loved is it shows as the duck, you're like analyzing the features of these people in the office and drawing these wild conclusions from them. Like, this guy's name is Greg. He's an alligator because they're all animals. But he's holding a cup that says Rhonda. So he stole his employee's cup, so he's a dirtbag. So dirtbag is what slots into his stuff. I'm like, it's not just like the facts that he stole it, but he's a terrible coworker, I think is what slots in. Or like douchebag. That's great. That's cool. Love that. More pixel art stuff. We got Undead West. This black and white and red bullet hell roguelike shooter where you're like an undead cowboy and death has brought you back to life and you're doing all these runs. That one looks super cool. I see you nodding your head. You know that one was awesome.
Yeah, that one was cool. I'll give you that. It was one I appreciated for sure. I'm not going to play it because I'm realistic, but it looked cool. I did actually watch that one instead of sit there with my arms back, kind of not falling asleep, Eric. You're fine. Just pay attention. That one actually got me back in the groove watching. Of course, just like Double Dragon Gaiden, you know, because you can't have some Double Dragon and we don't perk up. You know what I'm saying? We've pitched Double Dragon. We've pitched Duke. we've tried, all right? We're trying to revive these brothers in arms doing stuff. You know, that's what we're all about here on freaking Third Shift. So, of course, I paid attention to that game, and it looked good. It looked solid.
And I got a whole bunch more I could talk about, but I'm going to give you my last two. One is Until Then, which is 100% a Matt game. There's like pixel art, narrative, adventure, kind of visual novel, not visual novel style, but definitely narrative adventure, where it seems like you're playing as a high school student and his girlfriend or classmate or friend has passed away, but he can still see her, so she's still with him. Because like the text that's going back and forth is like, what are you doing here? You can't be here. You can see me, right? Blah, 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 blah. Just the look of it looked awesome. Like the pixel art looked awesome. The fonts, like of the text bubbles, I don't know why, but it put me in like Night of the Woods vibes, like totally kind of stylish black and white. Really interested in that one. And then one that I probably can't play, but it got me interested all the same, was a game called Ingression, which was like Portal meets VVV, VVV meets The Messenger, meets Super Meat Boy. This is that like very minimalist pixel art platformer, like super precision platformer. Mm-hmm. You have like a grappling hook, but then you come across these doorways and they like shine out light. But when you get close to them and go through them, it's like a portal to a whole nother section of the level. But sometimes it's like if you go left to right across the screen, you go in the door that's on the right, but now that becomes the top of the next screen. So the whole thing flips and now you're falling down into the next one, but then you're going to swing into the thing that's on the left, but now that becomes the bottom of the next screen you warp into. It's crazy. You got to watch it. But the thing that scares me about it is like all the floors and all the walls have these red spikes on them, and you see that dude die like a million times, or girl, or whatever the character is. So this looks so cool. The pixel art, the lighting from the portal things, the super fast action, but is it going to be too hard? Probably. But it looks so cool.
That one, yeah, looked way too crazy for me. The last one I had, Matt, it's real brief because it kind of let me down, but it still looked really cool. That's a Signal. I mean, it looked gorgeous. It had that whole vibe going on. You know, like, I love the otherworldly stuff going on. But then it showed you building a home. And I went, oh, no. No. Why do we got to do this? Why can't we just have one of these really cool otherworldly games that I don't have to build my own house, don't have to keep up stocks and food things, etc. But of course, that is what this game is. It looks gorgeous, though. It really does, and it looks really cool. But you do have to craft all your own places, equipment, vehicles, etc. And you want to figure out the big mystery of what the hell's going on here. Again, like I said, that's what I love about it. But if that's up your alley, definitely check out The Signal, because that one did stand out to me, even though after I found out what it's about, probably won't check it out.
And speaking of check it out, you listeners should check out this whole thing, because there are dozens upon dozens of games we haven't even mentioned on here.
No.
I was amazed when they got to the second segment and they went, oh yeah, here's another dozen games under this theme. And I went, well, that's got to be the whole rest of the show. And no, it was only a tiny part. So, yes, listeners, What Is Popping? Go in to check it out. And also, check out us via any of the socials, or drop comments, questions, concerns. If you just want to say hi, hit us up via the email, thirdshiftme@gmail.com, on the Twitter machine @thirdshiftme. Find us on Facebook under Third Shift. Hit up the Discord, the Patreon. Hit up my house. Hit up the Twitch. Hit up Howard. You know, Go knock on Howard's door. Leave my door alone. Leave Eric's door alone. I don't want to say we're like secluded hermits, like Hermit and the Pig. So that's another game you should check out about people looking for mushrooms. But go hit up Howard's house. He would love to see you. He'd love to convey a message. He's the official messenger of Third Shift. He's Hermes. He's our Hermes. Go whisper in his ear. He'll come flying with his little wings on his boots. Hey, guys, I heard about this thing.
You know, yeah, and you might just mistake him for a clown. And if you do want some clown meat, that's another game we didn't talk about. Play old clown meat. Pretty cool stuff, man. But anywho's, you can do all those things. You can also go over to Facebook, check us out. You can also go over to Patreon and check us out. You want a buck? You know, got a buck? We want a buck. Do you have a buck? Because we want a buck. You know what I'm saying? That's the way that was supposed to be said. Do you got $2, $3, any kind of bucks you want to hook us up with, throw it our way, help us out? We'd surely appreciate it. That would be so kind of you, and I give you a bow if you do. And if you cannot, though, I understand. You can support us by giving us mailbag questions, going to the Discord, chatting it up over there. You can go give us 5-star reviews on the iTunes, over on the Spotify's, and I'm pretty sure there's probably other places to go do such things. All that stuff helps us out, makes us feel good, makes us feel great, and we appreciate you in every way possible.
And, of course, appreciate listening to the very next episode, which will be dropping on around the 28th of March on iTunes and Stitcher, on Podbean, on Spotify, and on YouTube. And as I always say, hey, if you like what we're doing, like to help us out, please give us a like, a rating, a review, a comment, a subscription, any kind of good thing on any one of those good services. Because it does help us out. And we really do appreciate it.
Indeed we do. Just like we appreciate those 5-star reviews. Get out there. Hook us up. Summer's coming. Well, not for us, but maybe for you. And when it does, we'd love to see those 5 stars shining, making us bright, making us warm, feeling real good, just like we need to be. Oh, the dogs are barking. Everything's going crazy. It's all a wild show.
The vacuum salesman is back.
The vacuum man is back. Oh, it's a nightmare. It's happening again. Stop the nightmare by getting those 5 stars to us as fast as possible, folks. Don't let me live in this freaking eternal circular world that I'm living in. Get me out of here. Help me, God. Help me.
And until that time, there's nothing else to say but...
Shut up and sit down.